This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
James Brown and Big Ed says that's part of the entourage of music going around this big Donald Trump inauguration today. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show, along with Big Ed Davis. Thank you for being with us on this very historic day. In about a little less than two hours, Donald Trump will officially be the president of the United States. And we're going to be talking a lot about that. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Heather Kays, our education expert. We'll talk a little bit about Donald Trump's nominee for Education Secretary, Betsy DeVos, as she fights her way, we might say, through confirmation as Education Secretary. Also, we're going to be talking about the final nail in the coffin for the Florida Teachers Union in their fight to stop vouchers with Heather Kays. So stay tuned for that. And then the barber poll. And Andrew the Master Barber will be here. We're going to talk about the swearing-in and the inauguration and how he feels and how do the barber pollsters feel, the whole bit. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. And since it is Inauguration Day, our ultimate top 10 list reflects it. The top 10 most expensive presidential inaugurations. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew the Master Barber and his one-of-a-kind great barbershop in the Columbia Plaza in Clearwater. That's on State Road 580, just west of the Countryside Mall. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and tomorrow, Saturday, 8:30 till 2. Well, so much going on, right? Did you watch any of that, I guess we would call it... Inauguration Eve ceremony that took place around the Lincoln Memorial. I thought it was done very, very well. A lot of fireworks and Donald Trump and his family standing on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. I thought it was well executed. Well, Donald Trump is now going to be judged to a large extent in his first 100 days. And that will be the marker as to whether or not his presidency will be successful or not. And we all are, let's be honest, we're all a little nervous about Donald Trump being president. This is a guy that has never been a politician, but he knows how to talk in front of a camera. And he's got a great business background. And a lot of people are saying that's exactly what we need. Less politics, more business. So we've got a very divided country. You know about the demonstrations that are going on around the inauguration that will take place in a couple of hours. And Donald Trump is under a lot of pressure. I don't know if it gets to him or not. But just look at some of the things that he's got to deal with in the first 100 days. Health care. He wants to fully repeal the Affordable Care Act. He wants to replace it. We have heard different things about what will it be replaced by. Here on Freedom Works, we talk about getting the federal government out of it, getting the states back into it. Then there's immigration. Trump has vowed to cancel all federal funding for sanctuary cities. He wants to build a wall. He wants to toughen immigration enforcement. And he's got a clear majority of the people behind him on that. He also says he's going to work with Congress to introduce what he calls a End Illegal Immigration Act, which would seek a range of changes, including 2-year minimum federal prison sentences for coming back in again after you've been kicked out. Then there's government reform. He talks about draining the swamp, right? About ethical reform. Well, we can get rid of a lot of departments and still have a great government. In fact, we'd have a better government, to our way of thinking. And, of course, he's directed so much towards making America great again and pointing at American workers in this country that he talks about having been kind of pushed aside. And they're back in the forefront with Donald Trump. He is vowing to help them. He said he'd direct his Treasury Secretary to look at China and label them a currency manipulator in attempts to help drive up the sale of American goods. He wants to put tariffs on certain goods coming into the country for countries that he feels are manipulating things. That includes China and Mexico. He's talked about putting a tax on American companies that ship out their work to countries like Mexico and then try to bring the product back in, right? And so there we go. And there's just great hope for this guy. There's a lot of people that are upset. He comes in with the lowest approval rating of any president that I think has ever been surveyed. But you know what? I think this guy can do more. He is really, you've got to admit, there is an epiphany going on, a change-making going on with this guy. There's a lot of hope. And I think there's going to be about as many people watching this as the Super Bowl. It's going to be a big, big deal. A big deal. I know just a few minutes ago, I saw on television President Obama and Michelle Obama standing on the steps. It was kind of poignant in a way, waiting for Donald Trump and his wife to arrive. Then I had to get in the car to get to the station, so I didn't see how that happened. But it was a rather poignant moment. Ed, did you watch any of that?
Yeah, I was watching here. They were hosting. They had coffee and tea. They were hosting.
I see.
I didn't get the invite. Did you?
I did not. I would have liked a little coffee, yeah. But I got some.
You know, if I were being elected president, I'd say, hold the coffee and give me a beer and a shot real quick. You're going to need
it. You are so right about that. I think, you know, a couple of, or pour a couple of shots into that coffee, man.
I mean,
man.
You know that's got to happen. I mean,
all of a sudden, there is this reality that has got to have hit Donald Trump. As much as he might be prepared for it, I was watching the pre-inauguration ceremonies yesterday. Again, I was very moved by it. I thought it was done in great, great fashion. And I saw him standing there while the music was going on and some of those great bands that were performing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching him, and I was thinking, as he was watching, what is going on in his mind right now?
Mm.
Because reality has to set in a little bit on it.
Can you imagine what we'd be going through right now if things had gone the other way? I don't think the TV would be. I know the TV wouldn't be on.
There would be. I don't know what it would be like. I don't know what it would be like. I think there would be. I would think there would be some gnashing of teeth.
She's got to be. I mean, sitting there and watching him be inaugurated, and she's got to be saying, "Not again." She's gone through this before.
I tell you what. In a way, she's been very quiet, and in her own way, that's a classy way of going out. Remember how George W. Bush was quiet as President Obama was coming in, and he handled it in such a class way. So we got to give, I think we have to give Obama some credit. I know he's put in a couple of digs. We have to give Hillary Clinton some credit for kind of staying in the shadows.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Really. All right, we're going to take our break. I cannot wait to talk with Heather Case, our education expert, on Betsy DeVos and what's going on here in Florida. The teachers union, they got the final nail in their coffin.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
gentlemen, if you're looking for the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay, look no further than Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. That's just west of US 19 in Clearwater. Andrew and Candy will see to it that you get exactly the cut you want. And if you remember how the barbershop used to be, where you were as much a friend as a customer, then this is the place for you. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2.
Be the fan who doesn't hold back. Be the first to offer a high five. Be the kid at heart who dreams of taking the ice. Be the guy who's proud to be in way too deep. Be unashamed and unabashed and completely unhinged. Be the heart and soul, the inspiration and motivation. Be the Thunder. January 31st, Lightning versus Bruins, 7:30 p.m. Tickets at TampaBayLightning.com.
Tom O'Brien is on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday from 4 till 5 p.m., Tom takes to the airwaves as he breaks down the day's market action. Tom combines his technical knowledge of the markets with his years of trading experience to take your calls and questions every market day from 4 to 5 p.m. Whether you're new to trading or an active day trader, don't miss out on the Tom O'Brien Show live on the Tan Talk Radio Network from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Hi, this is Tim Del Toro.
And I'm Lou Angel Wolf, and we are the Grease Gurus.
Our show is broadcast every Saturday morning live at WTAN, Tan Talk Radio, 1340.
That's 10 o'clock every Saturday morning for an automotive forum that is flavored with humor and insight.
We encourage you to call in and be part of the Grease Gurus show.
We'd love to have you, and we will certainly help you find your inner grease.
This show is sponsored by Tim's Performance Service Center in beautiful Tarpon Springs at 906 Verona Place, and you can reach us personally at 727-543-1601.
Aha.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today.
See you later, alligator. I wonder if Donald Trump would have said that to Barack Obama on the way out. Anyway, we are delighted. As per usual, every Friday we have the great Heather Case join us. Heather is an education expert. She's an education reporter and policy expert. She's been published all over the place, USA Today, the Associated Press, The Hill, watchdog.org. And Heather, before we get to Betsy DeVos, I'd like to get to some of the other stories, and then we will talk about what is going on in the hearings with Betsy DeVos for Education Secretary. But starting out, here's Donald Trump, who's going to become the next president in just a couple of hours. And apparently, I can't believe this, the National Education Association is urging teachers and students to play hooky and protest the inauguration. Is that true, the inauguration?
Yes, that is true.
Wow.
They wanted this to happen yesterday, a National Day of Action, and I find it to be wildly inappropriate for the National Education Association to be encouraging students. It's bad enough that they're trying to get teachers and union members not to do what they're supposed to be doing, but then to actually cross over to telling students that they shouldn't be in class is counterproductive.
Yeah, counterproductive. If I was a parent and I heard that, I'd be outraged. I think I'd go down to the school and I'd say, "Don't you dare do that! Don't you dare even think about doing that!" You know, I mean, this is the kind of thing that really is troublesome. This is supposed to be a unifying situation, and here are teachers telling vulnerable students to protest? They barely know, some of them, what's going on.
And the thing that's upsetting to me about this is I would never tell students that they don't have the right to protest, but something about the freedom to do that is taken away when it's not actually organic, when you're being...
Exactly.
It's being suggested to you by administrators and people of power, people older than you, people who are supposed to be doing something to educate you.
Of course.
I don't think that this is a proper way to teach students that protesting is supposed to even happen.
It goes against the very tenets, I think, of our country. And you're intimidated by your teacher, just like your parents when you're little. You're going to listen to what they say and do what they say. If they say, "We don't want you to come to school, we don't want you to, to be watching the inauguration," I mean, to me, this is outrageous.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be happening. I struggle enough with watching the unions teachers refusing to go in to teach students when the students are where they're supposed to be.
Yes, indeed.
To get to the level of trying to get the students to not be where they're supposed to be.
Exactly.
It's offensive. It's really ridiculous.
It is.
It's nonsense.
On a related note, students at Independence High School in Tennessee will not be allowed to watch the inauguration today. A senior at the high school by the name of Olivia Roberts, so surprised, she decided to write a Facebook post. It went viral. She said in her post, to preface this, I am not one to post or debate anything political on Facebook, but wanted to hear thoughts on this. I go to public school and we're not allowed to watch the inauguration tomorrow. So this, you know, occurred yesterday. Her mother thought that this was really strange, and so she went to the school. She called the principal, and instead of getting answers, she got a lecture from the principal. The mother said, I asked her if there was a policy regarding inauguration, but instead of answering, the principal said, why is it important for you personally that your child see the inauguration live? Can you believe that from the principal of a school, Heather?
I can, unfortunately, believe that, and I would have had a lot of choice words if I were asked that question.
I bet you would.
It's a piece of history, and it's happening right now. What is more important for students to be learning in school? I would really love for
exactly.
someone to be able to answer that question.
That's a great question. That's a great question. This is history. And, you know, I would have the TV on intentionally. I think I'd want it on in almost every classroom. To watch it, you know? Anyway, on to some other things here. This is interesting. I guess the Obama administration was trying to transfer some money. Tell us about this. They dropped a last-minute rule change that would force a lot of school districts to shift about $1 billion in spending. What's that about?
So basically what the Obama administration was trying to do is they were trying to draft a last-minute rule that would make it so that school districts with more financing would have to transfer some of their funding to districts with a lot of low-income students in them. But basically they ended up tossing the rule out because they said they weren't going to have enough time to come up with a strong final regulation. This was good news to a lot of people, including Senator Lamar Alexander, because he basically was saying that this would have violated federal law anyway,
mm-hmm.
because the federal government isn't allowed to dictate to states how they spend their education funding.
Right. Oh, okay. That's an excellent point. So this was kind of like a last-minute idea. It sounds like some of these last-minute things that Obama has been doing as he goes out the door with executive orders and stuff like that. So you think it's a good thing that it didn't get through, huh?
I have a feeling that the reason that this actually became such an issue at all is because people are fearful of what Trump is going to do when he gets into office as far as where the money is going to come from for the school choice programs that he wants to put into place.
I see.
Because he's publicly stated over and over again that the money he intends to use for school choice is going to be existing money that already exists within the federal government. So I think that there's a concern for a lot of people that that means that school districts that are already being shortchanged and don't have enough money to function properly are going to be the ones to end up being hurt even more.
Mm, okay. We're talking with Heather Kayes, education reporter and policy expert, who's been very much involved in what is going on in education in America. And Heather, here in Florida, this is such a, I feel good about this one. Florida Vouchers Program survives the teachers union's attempt to kill it. Is this the last nail in the coffin? I think the Florida Supreme Court ruled, first of all, you don't have any standing to come before us to talk about this, but that even if you did, this is a completely constitutional program?
Yes. So on Wednesday, the the state Supreme Court rejected the union's latest attempt to try to get rid of the tax credit scholarship program, and they said you have absolutely no standing to bring this case. So this is unbelievably good news. And
it is.
A big deal to the thousands and thousands of families who are affected by this program. But, you know, as much as I'm thrilled that this is the way that it turned out, and I really did think that this was what was going to happen because it keeps happening, I still can't help but think this isn't going to be the end of it.
Yeah.
Especially with the change in administration, I think we're going to see a lot of school choice programs scrutinized and attacked in the courts and in, you know, the court of public opinion as well.
I think you're absolutely right. I've got a copy of the story in the Tampa Bay Times from yesterday, and the head of the FEA there, I guess it's the union, Joanne McCall, said her organization was very frustrated by the opinion. She said, "We're baffled. We're baffled that the courts would deny taxpayers the right to question state expenditures." Well, first of all, these are businesses that are sending money directly into a program rather than sending it to the government. But they always want to tell you that what's happening is we're losing money to these public schools because of this tax credit scholarship program. That's a bit of a red herring, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. They're not losing money. They're losing students, and they're losing students because they're not doing a good enough job educating the
students. Exactly right.
If they did a better job, then the students wouldn't leave.
That's right.
And it's a little bit disgusting to me the way that unions seem to just get away with making statements like that where you're discussing children's education as if they're just walking tax dollars. They're not. It's more important than that.
It is so much more important. Now, let's take the bulk of the time that we have together here left to talk a little bit about Betsy DeVos. First of all, we got a couple of things going on with her. Not surprisingly, and we'll talk about this first, unions, the teachers' unions in particular, are bankrolling this fight against Betsy DeVos, correct?
Yes. They've spent $2.6 million already trying to go after her and really after Donald Trump's ideas as far as education policy
right.
in general. But it's including the National Education Association, the American Federation of Teachers, and the AFL-CIO. They have been spending a lot of money giving it to think tanks and activist groups to try to oppose Betsy DeVos's education sector.
You know, another group that is absolutely astounding to me that they are fighting her is the NAACP. And I'm sure that the teachers' unions probably dump all kinds of money into the NAACP. Maybe this is the reason. They actually get bribed. Because they
give a lot of grant money and a lot
yes.
of funding to the NAACP.
Well, that has to be it's money. They don't give a damn about the education of minority students. They gotta know that vouchers and charter schools are gonna help get these kids out of poverty. I couldn't look in the mirror if this was a group I was in, and we were trying to stop people like Betsy DeVos and others that are promoting voucher programs and charter programs in minority neighborhoods, right?
Absolutely. But it's a little bit more complicated than that. I think people
okay.
in the NAACP still have a lot of positive feelings in connection with the work that they did during the civil rights movement. And I think that there's a little bit of nostalgia that goes along with it. So it's not so easy for those members to say, but there was a lot of infighting that did occur within the NAACP where not everyone agreed with that resolution that they put out saying that there should be a moratorium on charter schools. That was a huge education policy story and school choice story because it was such a shocking, surprising thing to have a group like that do.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's fine. History's fine. Everything's fine. History's good. But We're talking about the education of black children so that they have a fighting chance in their lives. And they need better education. And it's not the only thing they need, but they certainly need better schools or an opportunity to go to a better school and not be locked into a lousy public school in their neighborhood, you know? You would think the NAACP I know they know it. I know they know. Do you think that those top people, those high-paid black people, are sending their kids to a cheap, poor school? They're sending their kids to good private schools, are they not? And most everybody that's got any money does that in Washington. It's very, very hypocritical. Even the Democrats. Look at President Obama. His kids did not go to a public school. Bill Clinton and Chelsea Clinton did not go to a public school. So you know, this is what unnerves me. Nobody wants to bring it up. But they know. They know that vouchers and charter schools and private schools and Catholic schools in general are doing a much better job teaching, and that vouchers are a way of getting these minority kids into those kinds of schools. Anyway, let's get back to Betsy and the Democrats. What do you think? Have you been watching any of the hearings, Heather? What your thoughts on the hearings for Betsy as she tries to become the education secretary?
Well, I watched the entire thing, and oh my goodness, it was something else. It was about 3 hours and 15, 3 hours and 20 minutes, and man, the Democrats were not happy.
I know.
They spent a lot of time asking for a second round of questions instead of just asking questions, which is something that was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Because had they actually been asking questions instead of complaining about the fact that they weren't going to be given more time, they would have gotten their questions in. But I mean, they went after Betsy for exactly everything that we thought that they would. The fact that she's from a wealthy family, the fact that she married rich, the fact that
shoot the messenger. Mm-hmm.
The fact that she didn't go to public school, her kids didn't go to public school, the fact that she's never been a public school teacher.
These are all positives, by the way. Go ahead. I haven't heard a negative yet.
They did a lot of really silly things to trying to call out the fact that she hasn't run such a huge financial program before. If she's going to be in charge of student financial aid, then shouldn't she?
She doesn't know all the finagling tricks yet. You do not know, Betsy, you do not know enough finagling tricks to be sitting in that seat. We want somebody that knows all the tricks, all the backroom deals, and you don't know any of that. You're up front. We don't like you.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead.
So Elizabeth Warren kind of really went at her hard and was asking whether or not she or anyone in her family had ever needed to use a Pell Grant before, because she was trying to make the point that she thinks it's important that the person who's in charge of that type of a program and the money connected to it would have understanding of the importance of Pell Grants and financial aid for students. Mm-hmm. The thing that was so ridiculous about that entire attack and line of questioning is Betsy is a very rich woman.
Right.
Who has dedicated her time to helping poor students. That's what she's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So for her to be called out because she didn't personally or her kids didn't have to apply for a scholarship and that somehow disqualifies her
exactly.
from doing this important work. It's just insane.
Yeah. I wonder, I didn't get a chance to see much of the hearing. I wonder how they get around this thing about vouchers, you know? I mean, you know that all of those Democrats, again, well-funded by the teachers' unions, and so they got their papers, you know, they've even memorized it, and they got all their talking points. Really, they do, right in front of them on their table. And I just wonder, when they talk about vouchers, I mean, if I were Betsy, and you have to be careful because you want to get as many Democrats voting for you as well, but if I were Betsy, I'd say, by the way, where did your kids go to school? You know, each one of those people that are trying to crucify are there on the Democratic side, because all those people, You know that their kids all go to private schools, right? It's such a hypocritical thing. It's just a stage show, really. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and it got really... They didn't ask a whole lot of policy-related questions, though. Common Core wasn't brought up. Specific policies weren't really brought up. They just kind of went at her, saying that not all of her ethics paperwork had been handed to them early enough, and she's rich and she's super religious and all of these things that they think are terrible. But she remains composed throughout the whole thing, which I'm not entirely sure how she did that. But good
she probably took a lot of, she took some Valium or something. I mean, to sit in front of those people and listen to them. In fact, some of them that are asking questions should be on Valium. But Heather, as always, and when we talk next Friday, we're going to have, I think, Betsy DeVos as the new education secretary. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well. So thank you so much for joining us. Let you get back to watching the inauguration. And we'll be talking again next Friday.
Thank you.
There she goes, Heather Case. All right. We're a little late, but I wanted to talk a little more about what's going on with Betsy DeVos and, you know, everything regarding confirmation. We're going to take our break when we come back. Andrew, the Master Barber, is going to join us. He is going to talk with us about the inauguration ceremony and the demonstrations against it, the whole bit. Let me show you where it's at. Let me show you where it's at. The name of the place is... I like it like that.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Gentlemen, if you're looking for the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay, look no further than Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. That's just west of US 19 in Clearwater. Andrew and Candy will see to it that you get exactly the cut you want. And if you remember how the barbershop used to be, where you were as much a friend as a customer, then this is the place for you. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2.
If you are in or near retirement, this message is for you. We've designed a brand new show with you in mind. Retire Sharp Radio. Each week, host Derek Afazi will teach you the Retire Sharp planning system. You only get one shot to make your retirement everything you want it to be. And that's what the Retire Sharp planning system is all about. So check out Retire Sharp Radio, Wednesday afternoons at 3.
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. We are back indeed. I want to remind you, we are sponsored in part by Andrew the Master Barber and his great barber's shop, located in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580 in Clearwater, just west of the Countryside Mall, just west of Highway 19. Best haircut you can get in Pinellas County. And the price is great, and the ambiance is great. And Andrew's, the Master Barber, is even happier these days. He's cutting with a smile on his face because as of, about an hour and a half, we're going to have Donald Trump as president. Andrew, how do you feel about all of that right now?
Well, I'm so happy you got no idea. You know, I opened up today, and I was listening to the show, and you were right. This is going to be a bigger crowd than the Super Bowl. Do you know, I've had two people in my barbershop today.
Really?
Normally we got 20 in by now. Everybody's watching this inauguration, buddy.
Yeah, I think
everybody. And you know what? They're all happy, too. Believe me. You've got a few snowflakes out there, but, you know, I don't think you're going to see too many problems like you think.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. I know some people that normally don't care about politics, making a point of wanting to know, what channel can I watch this on? And
everybody,
what time is it beginning? I'm telling you, there is tremendous interest.
Yep. I don't know if they want to see Trump come in or Obama go.
There you go.
You don't know which one it's going to be. We ought to take a poll on that.
Now, are they still in there, Trump and Obama in the White House? Maybe they got into a fist fight. Is that what happened? Ed, I see the doors are closed there. Maybe there's noise coming. Is somebody throwing bottles at each other here? What's going on?
They got a picture on the computer where they're all standing together taking a picture.
Okay. So it's still quiet and peaceful in there. That's nice to hear.
Quiet and peaceful. Hey, the party's over, man. This is it.
So there have been some demonstrations. I don't know how much. I've read about some bottles being thrown and a couple of pro-Donald Trump people being bloodied with that. But not a lot of it. There's very tight security. Did you watch, Andrew, any of the what I would call Inauguration Eve
Yes. I was watching some of that last night, and I was laughing. They showed the little protesters in between. Did you see that little kid starting a fire?
I did not.
That little kid, he was 10 years old, starting a fire with a lighter, and the reporter asked him, why are you doing this? He says, screw the president. Now, I don't know if he meant Obama or Trump. Because at the time he did it, you know, Obama's still the president.
Yeah, you're right.
I get so disgusted when people bring their kids into this. You know,
can you imagine that? Well, the parents can't be any better, Ed. The parents can't be any better.
No, they're not.
That's where he learned from.
You get somebody in the news going up to an 8-year-old and stick the microphone. What are you here for? I'm fighting for my rights. You have no idea what you're there. You're there because mommy and daddy told you to go there.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. It's amazing. You know, it just shows you what the trash there is in this country, believe it or not. You know, you hate to use that term, but it's the truth.
On a positive note, I thought that a picture of them standing there in front of the Lincoln Memorial, the music, the fireworks, I thought it was really, I got almost emotional about it. They did a very nice job.
He got those fireworks at half price from Hillary.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Is that true?
He got it for half price. He negotiated a deal.
I believe it.
Didn't they just float that barge down the river a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Half price.
That's right. Well, you know, that's the way Donald Trump is. He's always cutting deals.
Yeah, oh, definitely,
The only person I think more spirited about this whole event is your brother, and he joined us, believe it or not.
Oh, is he with us?
Oh, he's here.
Angelo's cutting in again, huh?
Well, hello there. This is Andrew's brother, Angelo. How are you, my friend?
We're good, Paul. How are you?
We're delighted. We're talking with your brother here. He's excited. I want to know, are you as excited as he is today?
Yes, I am. I'm very excited, you know, especially being up here in New York State, you know.
I'm thinking you're in a state that is one of the few up there in the industrial area that voted against Donald Trump, but I guess the feeling must be very, very exciting. I know you've been a big Trump admirer for a long time. So tell us, are you optimistic he's going to get some things done in the first 100 days?
I hope so, as long as the Congress and the Senate back him up, you know? He should be able to get stuff done. I know the Democrats, the senator here from New York, that Charles Schumer, he's using delay tactics, you know?
Now, that guy, you know what? Somebody should throw a pie in his face.
He's something else.
I mean, we're going to slow everything down on the confirmation hearings. We haven't gotten certain documents. Well, you know doggone well he doesn't care about documents.
Right.
It's
a political tactic that they're using, mm-hmm. you know. Then you got Michael Moore that was down here in New York City, I guess, yesterday. And Robert De Niro and all these screwballs from Hollywood, you know?
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin. We should start a movement.
Well, here's what
the people from Hollywood.
No, you don't have it. You don't have any fanfare, and you don't look. Here's what we do: we build a huge hot air balloon. We put Meryl Streep, Robert De Niro,
Rosie O'Donnell,
Barbara Streisand. Well, Rosie O'Donnell, and we might not be able to get the hot air balloon. Mm-hmm. No, we'll put her in there. And okay,
you can get it in the air, and I got the gun to shoot it down.
Well, you're giving it away. Now we release them. We release them up into the air, and we hand all of the deplorables BB guns.
No, we just...
Yeah, shoot down the balloon.
Well, there we go. I mean, wouldn't that be... I think that would be very enjoyable.
We just give him enough fuel to get to Canada. That's all.
Didn't Robert De Niro say he wanted to punch Trump in the face?
Yeah.
Well, you know, De Niro isn't as big as he looks in the movies. He's only about 5'8". I think Trump would step on him.
I think we should start a movement to boycott, like, the Academy Awards, the Golden Globe Awards. You know, the people should start writing the television station, you know, like ABC, CBS, all these radio TV stations, and start saying, hey, we do not want this trash on the air.
Well, I like pies in the face. Again, if Meryl Streep was doing that talk again, and we would do a close-up of her talking about it, I would just love to see a lemon meringue pie hit her flat smack in the face. It would just feel so good, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
look at the violence here. I can't believe Trump's not even inaugurated, and Paul is talking violence on the radio. He's throwing pies in people's faces.
No! But we hit her with a cream pie that, you know, it's one of her one that she likes. So at least she enjoys the taste of it.
A mud pie.
Paul.
Yeah.
I saw that 10-year-old kid on TV last night. You know, starting a fire there, and
yeah, your brother was talking about
and calling the through the president. He's talking about Trump because his parents were there.
Yeah.
And this is what we're dealing with today, you know? I mean, you got that, these people, that I think over half of the country is like that.
We're the minority now.
Can you
imagine 8 years ago, if the shoe was on the other foot, Obama was becoming the president, and you had people doing that kind of a thing, do you know how the press would treat them?
Oh, we'd be racist as can be.
There you go.
Brutal. It's just that they'd be rioting in the streets.
There you go.
Well, you know, it just goes, like I said, it goes to show you, number one, that kid's already got three strikes against him in life. If he's got parents that are taking him to these things and you know, rioting. And
the kid doesn't even know why he's doing
right,
what he's doing.
He has no idea. Then they had this lady that was in charge of one of the movements there, the protesters. She was talking so incoherently. You know, she's calling the Nazis upstairs.
Well, I saw that one, too. Well, that just goes to show you what I said. They're a bunch of mamalukes. They have no idea what they're even talking about.
Well, you know, we got the governor up here in New York now. He wants to, you know, this guy, Andrew Cuomo, he's running for president now to get the nomination on the Democratic side. He's already started. He wants to legalize marijuana here in New York State. He wants to give everybody free tuition in New York State. I'd like to know how he's going to pay for it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, if he's going to do that, I'll go back to school myself.
Hey, hello. You know, don't worry about them legalizing that up there. You might need to use a little bit of that. Calm you down a little bit. You'll live a little longer. I can see my oldest brother walking around stoned in New York. Driving his new Corvette. It'd be beautiful.
It'd be going
down the street 15 miles an hour.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Thinking he's got a flat tire.
I'll tell you what, tomorrow when you guys wake up and when we wake up, Donald Trump will have been president and will be president, and and no matter what you read in the newspapers and how hard they go after him, he's still, every day we wake up from now on, Donald Trump is going to be the president for 4 years.
That's right. And you know, if he doesn't do a good job, you know, I'm going to be the first one to moan about it. But I've got faith in this man. And, Paul, you know what? I got a complaint about the radio show today.
Oh.
Believe it or not. Yes, I did.
Oh.
My barber, Greg. You know Greg that works
for
me over here?
Yes.
Well, Greg says, Andrew, first of all, you guys are discriminating because I never hear my name mentioned on the radio.
Oh, I should mention it. I should mention it.
He says, all you do is talk about candy, 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 candy.
Well, come on. Candy's prettier than Greg.
but we got to start talking about Greg a little bit.
Greg's
otherwise,
great.
He's going to throw a discrimination suit against him.
Oh, okay. Greg. Greg is a great part. Listen, you cannot go wrong. You cannot go wrong. There is Andrew, Candy, and Greg, and they are the perfect trio. And you'll be so happy with your haircut. And Greg is a great guy. Greg, we love you, buddy.
Hey, I want to hear you go. If I get down to Florida, do I get a free haircut at all or what?
No, you got money. You got a new Corvette. I'm going to charge you double. This is a new world.
Well, I guess he's not coming down then for a while. Hey, guys, thank you so much. We're all in a jovial spirit. Go back and enjoy the inauguration.
You got it, buddy. Sweet. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Paul.
Bye. Bye, Angelo.
Bye-bye.
There we go. Oh. Fun. We're going to take a quick break. Not as many commercials as normal because I want to talk to Big Ed about some football, so we'll be right back.
That'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're going to leave.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
gentlemen, if you're looking for the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay, look no further than Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. That's just west of US 19 in Clearwater. Andrew and Candy will see to it that you get exactly the cut you want. And if you remember how the barbershop used to be, where you were as much a friend as a customer, then this is the place for you. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye.
Hey, we're back. Inauguration Day. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Well, we've also got something coming up on Sunday here. We've got the two championship games, the championship of the NFL in the American Conference and the National Conference. So Big Ed, our sports expert, is going to give us not only who's going to win, but he's going to give me the score of each of these two games. Now, the first game, Ed, is between Green Bay and Atlanta, and the oddsmakers show Atlanta is favored by 5 points. So who's going to win? And give me an approximate score.
I'll keep you holding on that, but we actually have a caller. Chris in Zephyr Hills just wanted a quick word about the inauguration.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Sure. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Good morning, guys. I just first of all, I had the pleasure of sitting in this young man's chair a couple of times. He does a fine job with your head.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.
Yes. Did you see the speech he gave at the Lincoln Memorial yesterday?
Yes. Yes, we did.
He is such a compassionate, honest person. You can see, you can look at people and judge them by the way they look at you. And when he looks at the camera, he looks at you. And he's got such a, he's such a genuine person. All of this liberal BS to the one side. He is the best thing that's happened to this country since Ronald Reagan. He will do so much in those 8 years. He will get 8 years. That people will look back in history and say, why did we have a businessman in the White House years ago? Why did we have a professional politician?
That's
He's going to do a fantastic job, and the Green Bay is going to beat New England 35-10.
Oh,
I agree.
Oh, okay. Well,
good, good job, Chris.
35-10. Okay, Chris. Hey, thanks for calling, Chris. Thanks for your
yes,
thoughts.
Sir.
All right, buddy.
Bye, bye.
Okay, so. Ed, you got Green Bay beating Atlanta 35-10.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be 35-10, but I think it's going to be. I'm going to go with probably, I'd say 28-24.
Whoa, that's a close game.
Yeah.
Yeah, a shootout, huh?
Yeah.
A shootout. Okay, and then we got later in the day, Pittsburgh, and I guess there's. Their coach has said some nasty things about New England, but Pittsburgh's going to New England. And you know that New England is going to be favored in that game. In fact, they're favored by about 5.5. Do you think that this is more of an incentive for New England to win this game? Give me a thought on the score.
I don't think so. I New England is what they are. I mean, they're a great team, and I think that I don't think this is going to even be a contest, to tell you the truth. I think it's just a formality. I mean, man, that's a machine. Tom Brady is a machine, and I would love to see a Aaron Rodgers against Tom Brady in a Super Bowl. That would be great. I think that'd be great.
So you think that this is give me a score on the New England Pittsburgh game.
I will go 35-10 on that.
35-10.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you don't think Pittsburgh's going to put up much of a fight? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, I've written that down, Ed, and on Monday we're going to look at the and see how close you were. Okay. We got to do something about the inauguration for a top 10. So I went out, and as best I could, this wasn't easy. I tried to figure out what were the most expensive presidential inaugurals that have been held. And so we've come up with it. Not going to be exact, but we're going to be close. So without further ado, the top 10 most expensive presidential inaugurals. Number 10. In 1953, Dwight David Eisenhower became president. He replaced Harry Truman, and the cost of his inaugural was $6 million. $6 million. All right. Number 9. In 1965, Lyndon Johnson ran and won in 64. He won against Barry Goldwater and took the oath of office in 65 January at a cost of $10 million. Number 8. 1961, John Kennedy. I remember this one. He was in Top Hat and Tails. He really was out there. $12 million. Number seven. 1969. Richard Nixon had finally become president after losing to John Kennedy 8 years earlier. And the cost of that inauguration, $22 million. Number six. 1977, Jimmy Carter, who beat out Gerald Ford. I can still see him walking down the street towards the White House. He made a big deal of that with his suitcases in hand. The cost of his inauguration, $37 million. Number five, George W. Bush, the elder, who, by the way, our best wishes and thoughts for him. He's in the hospital. But in 2005, he took the mantle from Ronald Reagan at $42.3 million. Number four, Ronald Reagan, 1981, $78 million.
I saw that on TV in high school.
Did you?
Yes.
You remember
it,
huh?
We were talking with Heather about that.
Wow.
That thought came to me right then and there. I remember that day
watching
it in school. They pulled out the TVs and rolled them out.
Yeah. It was. It's always a historic, interesting thing to watch. That's good that they pulled the TVs out. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Number three, I guess they pulled the TVs out for this one, too, because Bill Clinton won in 1993 against George W. Bush, and the cost of his inaugural, $88 million. Wow. Number two, well, not surprisingly, Barack Obama in 2009. You know how much? Just think. The last one was $88 million. You know how much this one cost in 2009? $170 million.
Wow.
Now, remember that this includes security. And a good portion of the cost of an inauguration
is
the security. That is really the thing. Because think about all of the important people that you got that are there. It's not just him. It's the former president.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the legislatures in Congress, et cetera, that are there. I mean, they got to be very, very careful. All right.
And
now, this one is projected, so you're going to know which one I'm talking about. But they've already projected what the cost of this one will be. So, we know it's Donald Trump. That's number one, but how much?
Oh, probably well over $200 million.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's $200 million.
Oh, well,
it's projected to be $200 million. Now, that would be $30 million more than Obama, but they have got super. And you know what? The other thing they're worried about, believe it or not, have you heard about this thing about drones being a possible problem?
Yeah.
I mean, that's interesting. I wonder what are they going to do, shoot down a drone?
I don't know.
That's kind of scary.
Well, it wouldn't take much to shoot them down. They could shoot those down with pellet sacks or BB sacks or something like that.
Yeah, well.
Rubber bullets, whatever.
I hope we don't have to.
I just wanted to say real quick, I was pointing the TV.
Yeah, they're coming along.
Earlier, you saw Hillary Clinton come out. She was walking towards the viewing stand with Bubba. And boy, he was smiling, and she had a look that could kill on her face.
Well, now,
she didn't crack a smile.
Well, it might have been because Bubba was playing around again, Ed. You don't know why she was upset.
They weren't even holding hands.
Oh, it's Bubba.
They're just roommates. That's all they are.
Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, we got in about an hour, a little less than an hour.
President Trump.
He will be President Trump. So we thank you very much for listening to us.
There she is.
Freedom works. We will be back on Monday. Have a great weekend.
You're falling for her, and you're gonna